Turn, please, to Job chapter 23. Job 23 tonight. Job chapter 23. The subject tonight is finding God in trouble. Now, don't jump to conclusions. God is not in trouble, okay? But when you're in trouble, it makes all kinds of sense to find God. Now, you say, what do you mean, find God? Is he lost? No, he's not lost. But yet, as Job described it, that was what he needed, and he certainly knew what trouble was all about. Notice the first three verses. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. Now, he didn't say, I have a bitter spirit against God. He said, I've had bitter experiences, and I'm going to speak about them. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. And notice verse 3. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. In this chapter, Job talks about this concept of finding God. Understand, he's not talking about getting saved. We dealt with that this morning. And there are lots of individuals in the world who need to find God as their personal Savior. There's people say, well, I'm a seeker. Well, if you're a seeker, you better look the Bible. That's where God can be found. And you need to seek him while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. So there's that finding God in salvation. But that's not what Job was speaking of. This is a step beyond that. This is after you've already established a personal relationship with God, and now you're dealing with some of the issues of life that are unpleasant. And Job was an expert in that area. Through the summer, we've been detailing a lot of the agonies that he went through. Financial loss, the loss of his children, physical health, and living a life in constant pain. Social disgrace as people who formerly looked up to him for counsel, now they're making fun of him, and even their children are doing the same thing. Just a number of terrible events in Job's life, just back to back to back to back. So he knew what it was to have trouble. And he expressed this heart's desire, oh, that I knew where I might find him. I'm in trouble, I'm suffering, I just need to find God. You know, I believe there are times in life when we as Christians, even though theologically we know the answers to the questions ahead of time, yet in actual practice, sometimes we have difficulty finding God in the way that Job was speaking of here. The very important thing to know that when you go through the difficulties of life, you must find God. The good news is you can. And in this chapter, we'll see some ways that Job could find God. And there are the same ways that we could find God. And I know I get in a rut with three or four points, but I've got four tonight. I didn't write the book. Okay, it's right here in chapter four. First of all, we're going to see finding God's work. That's in verses 8 and 9. Then we'll see finding God's wisdom in verse 10. In verse 11, finding God's way. And in verse 12, finding God's word. Did I say that there would be four? Let me give you another one. Number 5, finding God's will. That's verse 13 and 14. Okay. Now, Job didn't alliterate them, but he did most of them, okay? I helped him out with one of them. But really, when we go through difficulties in life, we need to find these aspects of God and incorporate them into our lives, because that's where we will really get help to deal with problems. You know, anybody in the world, saved or lost, can deal with success and be glad about it, you know. But I didn't say that they all deal with it spiritually properly, but I'm saying people's lives usually don't fall apart when something wonderful happens. But there is a huge difference between the way people who are living for God and people who are not living for God deal with adversity. That's when we need to find God, when we are in trouble. Let's pray. Lord, we ask for your help as we study your word, that we might learn those principles that we can put into practice when the pressures of life are upon us. Father, I do pray you'd fill me with your Spirit. Give us all listening ears and heeding hearts, I pray. And we'll thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. When you're in trouble, you first need to find God's work. If you notice verses 8 and 9 of Job 23, Job says, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him." Now, Job is talking about how he feels. Now, theologically, we know God is omnipresent. So that means he's in front of you, he's behind you, he's to the right hand, he's to the left hand. And Job understood that, I believe. But he was talking about his own perception. If you'll notice, he says at the end of verse 8, he says, "I cannot perceive him." And then in verse 9, he says, "I cannot behold him." And then at the end of verse 9, "I cannot see him." He's talking about his own perception. This, apart from theological truth, this is practical application, and Job was struggling at that point. Did you ever feel at times you were in a situation, it just didn't seem like God was there? Or, though you know he exists, he just doesn't seem to be doing anything to help in the situation? But notice something Job does say in verse 9, "On the left hand where he doth work." You see, theologically, Job knew God is at work, but he had a hard time perceiving it, feeling it. You know, we get so caught up in our feelings and our emotions that sometimes, if we're not careful, it'll warp our theology. See, it wasn't that God was not there, and it wasn't that God was at work, but Job had a hard time sensing it. And if you just put yourself back in history and try to identify with what Job was going through, you might feel the same way too. Penniless, childless, friendless, in pain. It'd be kind of hard to say, "Boy, God's really working in my life." But in reality, God was working in his life. You see, when God works, we don't always immediately feel good about what's going on. When God works, we don't always like everything that he does. He is in the process of refining us and, in the words of the New Testament, conforming us to the image of his Son. He's trying to get rid of the things in our lives that don't look like Jesus Christ. And sometimes that's a painful experience. Dr. Paul Van Gorder, who was a contributor to Our Daily Bread, little devotional booklet, and an evangelist, he talked about when he was a little child. He said he got a splinter in his finger. And you know what you have to do when you get a splinter in your finger? You got to go to mommy, right? So he came in crying to his mother, and she started to pull out this splinter. And, oh, that was painful. He said, "You're hurting me, you're hurting me." And she said, "No, I'm not hurting you. The splinter is hurting you. You'll feel better when it's taken out." And you know, sometimes when God changes us, when God works on us to pull out some splinters, we think the removal is so painful We don't realize how much better it will be once those things are gone that shouldn't be in our lives. You see, God is at work, and sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's not pleasant. But when we are in trouble, we need to find God's work. And we need to, first of all, accept by faith the fact that He is at work and that He's at work in our behalf. You know, when my dad spanked me, it was in my behalf, okay? It took me a while to figure that out theologically, okay? I did not realize how much good he was doing me at the time. I can't say I appreciated it greatly. I don't ever remember saying, "Oh, thank you, Dad, I needed that so desperately." I don't ever remember saying that. But my dad was working in my behalf. He was helping me. He has kept me out of jail, I think, probably because I learned that it doesn't pay. Crime doesn't pay. I learned that very early in life, okay? And I'm glad. But you know, God may be taking some things out of your life that ought not be there. And it may look at the moment to be like a painful experience. But let me tell you, once that splinter is removed, you'll feel a lot better. But when you're going through trouble, it doesn't mean you're always being chastised by God. Job's story tells us that. But that's always a good thing to check up on when you're going through difficulty. And just ask God, "God, is there something in my life you're trying to change? Then, Lord, help me to cooperate. I want to go through this change and get out of the painful part, you know." It's the removal that's painful. It's not what happens afterwards. And so, we need to find God's work. God is at work. Our problem is we don't always perceive what God is doing. And so Job knew, theologically, that God was working. But he couldn't see it. He couldn't behold Him. He couldn't perceive Him. And when you're going through the trials and the struggles of life, you need to find God's work. But secondly, notice he speaks of finding God's wisdom. Verse 10, "But he," God, "knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Wouldn't that make a great theme for a song? It's amazing how often Bible writers copied from the hymnal. But Job talks here about what God knows. He knows the way that I take. God knows what you're going through. You need to find His wisdom because He knows it better than you do. You may feel some symptoms, but you don't know the real disease, okay? You may have some concept of experiences, but you probably don't understand real issues. In fact, the Bible says we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You and I don't fully understand our situation, but there's a God in heaven who in His wisdom does know all about it. And therefore, we need to find His wisdom when we go through the difficulties of life. God knows the entire journey of man. As Job said, He knows the way that I take. You and I may know a step that we just took, but we don't know the whole journey. We might look back at the past and remember some things, but we sure don't have much of a clue about the future as far as the daily events of life and what we're going to be doing. And that's why we ought always to say, "If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that," instead of presumptuously making our plans apart from God's plan. But when we go through problems, we need to understand there's a God who knows the way that we take. And we need to find His wisdom. He understands it. And Job said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Here's something that's hard for us to grasp sometimes, but a very important principle. Every change that God brings about in your life is an improvement. So often we're afraid, if I really yield to God, He'll change something in my life. Well, yeah, that's the whole idea of yielding to Him, to let Him change. But every change that God makes is an improvement. Now, in the years that I've been married, have been involved in a number of home improvement projects. At least that's what we call them to start out with. And some of them actually have been, okay? But I cannot say that every change that I've made has been an improvement, okay? But fortunately, God gave me a quality control expert who in the sweetest and kindest way will encourage me to do it over again until I get it right. But when God changes something, it's always improved. Always. If He does it, it's always better. Why are we afraid of letting God change us? When it's always better. Here's Job. He's going through some horrible experiences. But he's able to look at the end of it and said, when He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He didn't say that when he had the gold. He said that when he was hurting. He said that when his life, from a human perspective, was crushed. And he said, when God is through with me, I'll be a whole lot better off. There are times when we can just say that by faith, and absolutely we don't see it by sight. But Job knew that. And so, when we're in trouble, we need to find His wisdom. God knows. God knows what it's all about. He knows what we're going through. He knows the way that we take. And He doesn't just know the step we're taking now, but He knows the destination to which those steps will lead us. He's got your life figured out, the whole journey from start to finish. You need to find His wisdom. But third, we need to find God's way. Look at verse 11. My foot hath held His steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Job realized the best way for him was God's way for him. You know, the Bible tells us that man devises his way, but God directeth his steps. Instead of us leaning onto our own understanding and figuring out our lives and making our plans, we need to let the Holy Spirit of God give us direction. Because His way is the right way. A little song. God's way is the right way, and it's the only way for me. That's not just a cliche, it's a Bible truth. God's way is the best way. It is the right way. It is the only way that will work and the only way that's guaranteed to bring success. Now, we often in life are so concerned about the destination, what we're going to be someday, where we'll wind up. You know, young people in high school, about the senior year, they start thinking, I'm not going to be eating groceries from mom and dad's table the rest of my life. Unless I can figure out some way to talk them into it. But I'm going to have some kind of career. I'll have to plan some things and get a job. You know, that's scary, isn't it? But, you know, they think, I've got to have a plan, okay? So I'll become this. Because I hear they get a lot of money, the people who do that, okay? So, as if there's nothing else that counts in the consideration. And there are an awful lot of miserable people out there chasing those kinds of concepts. When God in heaven commanded us to not lean unto our own understanding. In other words, if we do that, we're sinning against God. If we just rely upon our own minds and our own concepts and our own way to figure things out, we are sinning against God, who said, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. God has a way. And He knows the best way. His way for your life is the very best way you can travel. And it leads to the very best destination. And you cannot improve upon God's way. So Job said, His way have I kept. I've tried to do what God wanted me to do. Now, Job was imperfect, and he, in other places, admitted his imperfections. But nevertheless, he clung to God's way. And whenever people were encouraging him, even his wife said, curse God and die. He refused to do that because he held fast to God's way. And God in heaven said of him, in speaking to Satan, you've afflicted him, you've brought pain, yet he still maintains his integrity. What a testimony Job had before Almighty God. If all the pain and suffering that Job went through did not deter him from following God's way, you and I have no excuse from drifting off the track spiritually. We are never the victim of circumstances. We can never say, I disobeyed God because such and such a thing happened to me. The only thing we can honestly say is, I disobeyed God because that's what I chose to do. That's the only honest way we can explain it. But God has a way. In fact, Jesus is the way. So we need to find God's work, God's wisdom, and God's way. But also, in trouble, you need to find God's word. Notice verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That's a powerful statement. Now, Job knew that food was necessary. Now, it may not be as necessary as some of us consume it or in the quantities in which we consume it, but it is necessary, nevertheless, that we eat physical food. That's necessary. And it's God's plan that we be nourished and strengthened that way. By the way, it's not necessarily intended to be recreational, okay? It's supposed to be to give us energy to be productive for God. But nevertheless, it was necessary. But Job said, I've esteemed God's word higher, more than my necessary food. It's amazing how some of us would never miss a physical meal, but day after day, we don't feed upon the Word of God. Job said, if I don't have time for breakfast, I can't afford to not read my Bible. Whoops, have to take that back. Job didn't have a Bible to read. But he did have a concept of God's words. And he treasured those words more important than the mashed potatoes and the gravy and the corn and the beans and the steak and all the other good stuff, okay? And I haven't even talked about dessert yet. Well, that maybe that's not the necessary part. I don't know. I guess that's all in your viewpoint, maybe. I heard one person say, you should always eat your dessert first. In case the rapture comes, you don't have time to eat the other stuff, you know. But nevertheless, Job said, I treasure God's word more highly than I desire physical food. It's amazing how when many people get in trouble and go through problems, they close their Bibles and put them away saying, I just don't feel like reading the Bible. Job said, I'm hurting so bad, I've got to know God's word. when you're in trouble, the Bible's a great source of help and encouragement. I've said this to you dozens of times, but I've always meant it, and I still do. Whenever I get a little discouraged and things aren't going the way I'd like to see them go, every time I've gone to the Bible, I have come away encouraged. Every single time, without exception, has never failed. It's such an incredibly encouraging book. And we need that. But I think a lot of times we go through life not realizing how much we need the Bible, how much we need God's Word. Just think about some things the Bible says about itself. It's a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. So when you start to make decisions, you better start with the Bible. Young person, you want to know about a dating relationship? Well, the Bible will give you some good guidelines right off the bat, such as, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Brother Kevin Schneider mentioned in Sunday school this morning in the men's class that, you know, if it's not God's will for a Christian to marry an unsaved person, not God's will for a Christian to date an unsaved person. And we dads need to take a stand that way in relation to our own kids and help them in that regard. And, you know, that makes a lot of sense. But what a light unto your path it is when you let the Bible set the parameters within which you make decisions. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. What a tremendous antidote the Bible is to temptation. So that when we're tempted, as we all are, in the three areas of temptation, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, we can take the word of God when temptation comes and commit to memory scripture that we can apply when temptation comes to combat those areas of temptation. The Bible is such a tremendous tool when we're tempted. Why would we not want to get into it? Not only that, this Bible's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, that is, matured, able to do everything God wants us to do. This is an incredible book. It's a fire. It's a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. It's gold, and even better than gold. It's sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. There are so many pictures and figures of speech about the Bible. What an amazing book this is. Why would we not go to that instantly when we're in trouble? When we're in trouble, we need to find God's Word. Job obeyed the Word. He says in the first part of verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. And he esteemed the Word in the last half of the verse more than his necessary food. But also, in trouble, we need to find God's will. Verse 13 and 14. But he, God, is in one mind, and who can turn him? That is, you can't talk God out of anything. Okay. And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. What's he saying about God's will? Well, he's saying in verse 13, God has a plan for man. He's in one mind, who can turn him? God has a plan. But also, God accomplishes his plan for man. It's in verse 14, he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. So here's how it works. God has a plan for you, a will that the New Testament says is good, acceptable, and perfect. He has this perfect, complete, detailed plan for you. And then he helps you accomplish it. Or, in the words of Philippians chapter 2, it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That is, he puts in your heart the desire that he wants you to have, and then he helps you to accomplish it. Or how about this? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. All those verses are saying the same thing. That's what Job says here. That God has a will, and he can get the job done. If I just find his will, he will help my life to be fruitful, successful. I won't live my life in emptiness and vanity. I won't come to the end of life saying, I wasted all those years. But God had a plan, I followed it, and therefore I was able to accomplish that which he wanted me to do. You know, the will of God includes not only just a dream, a hope, a wish, but it includes the accomplishing of that desire. So that the end result is you get to do what you want. Not because you started with what you want, but you started by seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then he put the right desires in your heart, and then he helped you to accomplish them. But at the end, you get to do what you want. I've been in the ministry for several decades now, okay? I love it. Don't anybody ever feel sorry for me for being a preacher. I love it. I love teaching an ambassador. Don't feel sorry for me. I love it. But this wasn't what I figured out when I was 15 years old. Okay. Nor when I was 16. When I was 17, I sort of started thinking about it. You know, maybe God has a better plan for me than I could figure out myself. And now I take the maybe out of the sentence. There's absolutely no question. God had a much better plan for me than I ever could have figured out for myself. But I've loved doing what God called me to do. I really am glad God wanted me to marry this lady sitting down here in the front row. I haven't spent the rest of my life kicking and screaming in misery because it was God's will for us to get married, you know. I really like it. And I think I'm going to keep her now. She's almost out of the probationary period, you know. I guess 47 years, that's pretty close. But it's not like it was a terrible plan, you know. It was a perfect plan that I didn't have enough sense to figure out when I was 15 or 16 or 17 or older, okay. It's a perfect plan. And God brought it to pass. Let me tell you what, that was a miracle in itself. If anybody was ever hard to convince of anything, it was her about marrying me, okay? That took some tall persuasion, and I wasn't up to the job, okay? I just didn't have the equipment to get the job done. And yet God gave me the desire of my heart. Now, please don't ask her opinion about things. Don't get her side of this story. But it took some persuading by God. See, I have this special discernment. I figured out long before she did, okay? But I tell you what, I'm sure thankful for the will of God. It is good. It is acceptable. It's perfect. Absolutely. And as I look at this point in my life, look backward, I can say, boy, absolutely, God revealed his will, and then he accomplished it in my life. But I'm nothing special. And God is no respecter of persons. And he has a will for you that's absolutely, infinitely superior to anything you could ever plan yourself. And if you want to have a life of happiness and fulfillment and satisfaction, you just follow that will and you'll do fine. Sometimes when we're going through trouble, hard for us to think that way. But Job had enough of a walk with God, enough of a spiritual maturity to say, I need to find him. I need to find God. As much as I'm hurting, I need to find God. That involves finding his work, his wisdom, his way, his word, and his will. You want to live the best life you could possibly live on the face of this earth, you need to find God. Let's bow for prayer.